Imagine being forced to go to a hospital for psychiatric treatment that you don't think you need. What are your rights? That's the question at the heart of a fight involving New Hampshire, the American Civil Liberties Union, and nearly two dozen hospitals. A ruling in this case could change the way New Hampshire treats people who are in a mental health crisis. As Jason Moon reports, the case involves a group of mostly anonymous plaintiffs who were confined in hospital emergency departments.
Mimi is 61. She works for an organization that helps people with disabilities and takes care of her husband, who is disabled. Mimi is a family nickname. We're not using her real name because she's afraid of the stigma that might follow someone who's been involuntarily committed for a mental illness. The events that led to Mimi being taken to a hospital are disputed. It happened last September. Mimi says she was suffering from severe stress and anxiety at work and at home.
It was just a perfect storm of stressors. So I had taken the day off and I was recovering at home.
Later, Mimi's adult daughter arrived at her house and was alarmed by Mimi's condition. Mimi's daughter later described it as a, quote, psychotic break. But Mimi didn't think she needed any help. They argued. Then Mimi's daughter called 911. When police arrive, they find Mimi agitated and erratic. They say she isn't making any sense. Ultimately, they tell her she has to go to the hospital. Mimi refuses.
I definitely did not need to go. I did not want to go.
Then an EMT tells police officers to hold down Mimi's arms.
And the next thing I know, they're stabbing me in the arms with some kind of sedative. I don't know. Stab, stab. Next thing I'm waking up in St. Joseph's Hospital.
Mimi wakes up in the St. Joseph Hospital emergency room in Nashua. She wants to leave, but the hospital won't let her. The reason they can legally hold her against her will is a special petition that was filled out by Mimi's daughter and an ER doctor. That form lays out the reasons why they each think Mimi is suffering from a mental illness that makes her a danger to herself or others.
My husband came, and he tried to get me out, but there was no getting me out.
After one of those petitions is filed, according to state law, a few things are supposed to happen. First, Mimi should be transferred out of St. Joseph to a psychiatric care facility. Second, within 3 days, Mimi should get a hearing before a judge. That will be her chance to argue that she shouldn't be held against her will. But here's the problem. There are five psychiatric care facilities in New Hampshire where Mimi could be transferred, and they are all full. On any given day, there is a wait list of around 35 people for a bed. And those hearings where Mimi could argue to a judge that she should be allowed to go home, those are only held at those psychiatric facilities. So Mimi can't leave the ER, and she can't get a hearing. Not until a bed opens up.
And they won't even tell you what number you are. You ask every day, what number am I? Oh, we don't know.
The legality of this situation is now being debated in federal court. The question is not whether Mimi should have been forced to come to this emergency department in the first place. It's about whether her rights were violated once she got there. Mimi ended up spending 20 days locked inside a wing of the St. Joseph Hospital Emergency Department. Her clothes were paper hospital gowns. Her access to visitors, the telephone, and even the bathroom were limited.
During my stay, to help keep me sane, I took notes with a crayon and coloring papers because that's the only thing I was allowed to have to write with.
Pens were deemed a potential suicide risk. And so in crayon, Mimi kept a sort of diary of what she says was a traumatizing captivity. She writes about hospital staff who were demeaning.
Staff call the mental side of the ER the slums. Are you slumming it? They'd ask each other.
She writes about the anxiety of not knowing how long she would be there.
Still waiting for the phone and still waiting on what number of when I'm getting out of here.
She writes about how a priest affiliated with the hospital gave her a prayer shawl, but then the hospital staff took it away.
There are premises that I could have strangled myself with it.
Mimi says she never had any suicidal thoughts. A spokesperson for St. Joseph Hospital wouldn't comment on the specifics of Mimi's experience. But in a legal filing, the hospital denies any allegations that the conditions of her stay were poor. On the 20th day, Mimi says she's eating lunch when a pair of sheriff's deputies arrive in her room. A bed at a psychiatric facility has finally opened up. She says they handcuff her, put her in a wheelchair, put her in the back of a van, and then drive her to New Hampshire Hospital in Concord. 2 days later, Mimi is told she's finally going to get her hearing.
You get your husband to bring you your finest dress, and you go in there, you get a lawyer is assigned to you.
In the end, Mimi didn't even have to argue that she should be released. Mimi's daughter, who had written the petition to involuntarily commit her, she didn't show for the hearing. The judge dismissed the petition, and Mimi was immediately released. For the first time in more than 3 weeks, she got to go home. Later, Mimi received a bill from St. Joseph Hospital for the cost of her stay, about $2,700. Now Mimi is represented by the ACLU of New Hampshire in a federal class action lawsuit. Gilles Bissonnette with the ACLU says they want to make sure people like Mimi get a probable cause hearing within 3 days of being confined, regardless of whether they're at a psychiatric care facility or an emergency room.
To be deprived of your liberty without any ability to challenge it, it's wrong. It's wrong under our statutes. It's wrong under our Constitution. And that's what we're trying to fix in our lawsuit.
No one from the state attorney general's office or the Department of Health and Human Services would comment on pending litigation. But in its legal filing, the state argues that the clock for the 3-day requirement for a probable cause hearing doesn't start until the patient arrives at a state psychiatric facility. The state also argues that hospitals aren't required by law to hold patients like Mimi. In other words, the state says this is between Mimi and the hospital. Steve Onan is president of the New Hampshire Hospital Association. His organization has intervened in this case on behalf of more than 20 hospitals in the state. He says stories like Mimi's are a result of the state's failure to follow its own laws.
When a petition for involuntary emergency admission is completed, the patient is committed to the state's mental health system and is to be transferred immediately.
Onan says the moment the petition against Mimi was filed, the state became responsible for her. But while the Hospital Association largely agrees with the ACLU, they differ on what the immediate solution should be. The ACLU has floated the idea of holding probable cause hearings by video conference inside emergency departments. But hospitals aren't in favor. They say that would create more of a burden on hospital emergency departments, which were never designed to handle these situations.
It would simply perpetuate a failure of the system to do what the system is supposed to do, which is to provide care for patients who need it.
One thing everyone agrees on is that this problem is not new. What happened to Mimi has been happening to people in New Hampshire for years now. Right now, there are somewhere around 35 patients being held in emergency rooms across the state on involuntary petitions. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jason Moon.